I, a little earlier, spoke to the Minister for AI and Online Safety. He is Kanishka Narayan. And I asked him whether there was still time for technology companies to stop a ban here by introducing changes, changes that would protect young people.
No, Evan, I think they've had too many second chances. We have heard very, very clearly that for young people under the age of 16, the extent of harm is so deep that we need a break glass moment. This is that moment. We are banning social media for young people under 16. That said, for 16 and 17-year-olds, there are harmful features that we want to turn off by default. So not banning, but turn off by default, where we think if platforms continue to improve, there's a path there to make that experience better. And so there is still an opportunity for those who are older to have a safer experience online, both through our regulatory pressure and hopefully through product design. But for under 16s, the scale of damage is so extensive, the duration of it so significant, that there isn't a second chance now.
Okay, it's done. Have you worked out how you're going to do it? Or is that now a project for the next 12 months? I'm asking because, of course, a lot of people are saying this is much harder to deliver than just simply passing a law.
Well, I don't doubt the difficulty of it. I've been grappling with this for 9 months in this job, and so I feel the weight of that. Today, we're announcing the big picture policy. There are some aspects of implementation we're announcing. So in Australia, the way in which age checks are done is a legal test of reasonable steps. In Britain, we are going to have a tougher test. And so some aspects are clear, but now we have to work with the regulator, with companies to make sure that the underlying detail, that is worked out as well. And so it's not going to be a year of waiting. We are moving at lightning speed on this. We have been very quick on consulting, very quick on deciding. We will be as quick as possible on putting it into the books of statute and then implementation.
But out of interest, would it be fair to say that one of the consequences of this, of trying to prevent the under 16s, is that everybody who is 16 or over will have to demonstrate their age in order to do virtually anything, because for a 40-year-old to be on Instagram will have to prove that he, she is not 15. And so essentially it will become a norm for all adults to be proving their age all the time.
Well, I think it's a bit more nuanced than that. So yes, it's true that to stamp out child abuse for under 16s, we need platforms to figure out whether someone is under or over 16. But in terms of ways of doing that, if you've had, for example, an account for more than 15 years, it's pretty obvious that you're going to be over 16. And so in those cases, it's unlikely the platform is going to ask you to do anything further than what you have. If you have a credit card associated with an account already, or if you have, for example, email addresses associated with accounts, which you can do behavioral inference on and tell that someone is clearly over 16, you don't need to do much more than that at all. And so, yes, in some cases, we might in extremis have to make sure that we do a once sort of age check at the very outset. But this is not going to be some sort of deeply painful recurring experience of giving data over. Quite the opposite.
Yeah. Can I ask you specifically about YouTube? Because YouTube is a lot of different things. Indeed, for half the world, it's like half the internet. And it is a social media platform, and lots of platforms have made themselves social media, put on short videos and comments so you can interact and almost chat. But obviously YouTube is also the world's biggest video library, and it's a place where you can get a lot of education. You can get top-up teaching in any subject you want. Can you talk me through the YouTube strategy for this policy?
Sure. Broadly speaking, we obviously want to make sure that some educational services are available to young people in a fulfilling way. With platforms that are user-to-user services with algorithmic recommendation, which are in scope of a ban, let's say, in Australia, young people are still able to go on those platforms, type in the search box, geometry lesson, and access that video. And so what we're not doing is fully stamping out someone watching a video like that on TV sitting next to their parents. What we're doing is stopping the creation of a new account, which then results in the sort of data-driven algorithmic doom-scrolling, going down corridors of recommendations towards unhelpful and dangerous videos that end up being deeply harmful for young people as well. And so we're stopping the most harmful bits, but we're trying as hard as we can to make sure some of the opportunities are captured. Now, there will be platforms where, because it's a nuanced trade-off, that we've come down on the side of protecting young people, and there are some things that are lost in that. I accept that. But the overwhelming sense that we've had is that the scale of harm experienced by young people justifies the decision that we've taken.
Okay. This is really back to the whole issue of the social media ban for the under 16s, is whether you anticipate the big tech companies are going to cooperate.
Well, I'm certainly not relying on the generosity of companies for enforcement. We're making sure that we're running very fast with the regulator at preparing guidance, at making sure the regulator has the powers, the resourcing it needs, so that straight away out of the gates, we are ready for a context of enforcement if there isn't compliance.
Okay. Just on a completely different matter, but not a completely different matter, if I may, Kanishka, I just wanted to ask you about what the government's feeling is about the US essentially forbidding Anthropic, one of the big AI giants, essentially banning Anthropic, letting any foreigner get hold of its Fable 5 model. This is a very advanced level model. And I just wondered, so the US government has banned Claude Fable 5 from being available to UK users, and whether you have a view of that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most consequential questions that our politics should be asking. So in the short term, the operational context is that Mythos and Fable, the latest generation of models, have been banned for all users, not just British users. The company has decided to ban it for all users. And so in the short term, we think the impact differentially on us is limited. But the long-term implication is very clear. The single most important question in terms of cybersecurity, our security agencies' ability to be able to engage with drone and counter-drone defense systems, so many of those critical questions rely on our access to frontier AI models. And if you want that access, you have to have some leverage, some chips on the table. And so to me, AI sovereignty is now the central question for our national security and domestic security. We have to take it deeply seriously.
Okay. You don't have an idea how we do that. Obviously, we are big players, and DeepMind, which is a London-based company, is a very big part of Alphabet Google's AI proposition, and a lot of that has come out of London, but it's obviously not detached from the United States.
That's right. So the way I think about how you build leverage is you've got to focus on your strengths. You can't do all of it, especially a country of our size can't do all of it. And so what we have been focused on in our sovereignty strategy is to focus on some particular layers in the stack. So one, we think we have great strengths in chip design with companies like Arm, as well as a series of startups. We've put $1.1 billion into supporting them and building that leverage. Two, outside of language. Language is one form of intelligence, but there are many other forms of intelligence, as you'll know very well. Vision, the ability to discover new scientific models, mathematical models. In those areas, we're backing a series of companies, both directly and indirectly in Britain. And thirdly, we think there are some critical applications in areas like cybersecurity, life sciences, professional services, where Britain has amazing strengths. And so right across those parts of the stack, we need to move further and faster in building leverage and strengths here in the country so that we can sit at the table with our allies as well as beyond that and say, we've got some chips on the table. Let's make sure we have critical access to yours.
Kanishka Narayan there, who is the Minister for AI and for Online Safety. A little later in the programme, we'll get the reaction of four 14 and 15-year-olds